Hello and welcome to Guy Perryman Interviews. Our travel companion today is Ollie Alexander, singer of global chart-topping pop group, now solo project, Years and Years, actor on stage and screen, including multi-award-winning TV series It's a Sin, set in 80s AIDS crisis Britain, and vocal advocate of gay equality. The interview took place at Universal Music Japan head office in Harajuku, Tokyo, in October 2022, the weekend of Tonal Tokyo Music Festival, and was first broadcast across Japan on my InterFM radio show. Enjoy the journey. It is wonderful to welcome on board Ollie Alexander. Hello.
Hello.
Great to finally meet you. I've wanted to meet you for years.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Welcome back to Tokyo. And you were here for Tonal Tokyo. How has your Tokyo trip been so far?
It's been wonderful. Thank you. We got here on Friday, which is about 2 days ago. Yeah. So I'm still feeling a little bit disorientated. But to come and play in Japan is such a treat. It feels like a real honor. Like, I feel so lucky to be able to come out here and play, and the audiences are so enthusiastic and kind. I feel like the Japanese fans are very supportive, which is really a really nice feeling, especially when you haven't, you know, not been here for a few years. So it's been great.
I've always used this analogy because musicians say this all the time. I think it's almost like, you know, the Japanese fans are cheering for their favorite football team or sports team when they see the musicians on stage. They just want you guys to win up there.
Yeah, you really feel the love and the support. Yeah. It's quite special. You don't really get, it's very unique here, I think. Yeah.
I want to go back actually, 2009, I believe, Enter the Void movie.
Oh gosh.
Was that your first time to Japan?
It was, yeah.
Enter the Void is a film set and shot here in Tokyo. Quite crazy movie to look at, especially. How was that experience for you? The Tokyo trip and the movie.
Oh my gosh, Guy. Well, so we filmed it in 2007.
Oh wow.
And I was 17. Oh. So I'd never been away from home. I got on a plane to Tokyo by myself and was here for about 2 months filming Enter the Void. I was staying in Aoyama. Oh. And it was the most mind-blowing experience of my life. And I just was, I mean, it just opened my eyes to so many things, and I never, you know, a different culture, a different way of life. And I was making this movie, which, you know, I was felt so lucky to just be there and to have had, you know, to be 17 years old and all my friends, you know, still at school. So I just couldn't believe it. I look back at it now and it was one of the most special experiences of my life. So whenever I come back to Japan, you know, that, gosh, I'm how much older now? 15 years later, I think. I'm 32 now anyway, but
your maths is as bad as mine.
Yeah, my maths is actually terrible. But I always think back to when I first came here and how it formed my identity. Actually, I feel like it had a really big impact on on growing up. Just, I don't know, like it was a really important experience for me.
That's interesting you mentioned that. And I think I've often asked people this, Japan has some sort of impact on us, whether you come for a short holiday, whether you stay for 30 years, like me. You've taken something away from Japan, I think.
Oh my gosh, completely. And I'm definitely one of those people that, I mean, even before I came, I was obsessed with like Studio Ghibli movies, you know, so being able to come here and go to like the Studio Ghibli Museum. And there's a real magic to this country that's so unique. And I felt, I can't get enough of it. So I just love coming here for that.
Yeah. Is there one thing about Japan you love, either tangible or intangible, that the rest of the world don't know about, you'd love to share with them?
Gosh, one thing I love about being here is there's such a mixture of high tech and traditional, and there's a real fusion and just there's so much going on. And when you walk down the street, you know, you can pass a Shinto shrine and a Buddhist shrine. And I find the kind of like the way spirituality is weaved into like everyday life very beautiful and just an amazing part of the culture. As an outsider, I find that really humbling and beautiful to experience.
You caught the acting bug quite young, I believe.
I did, I guess I did.
Was there something or someone, an event or a person that came into your life that got you on this road?
I always loved performing. I think that was kind of like a way I felt sort of confident and, you know, when I was singing a song or on a stage, that was my my armor in a way. So that made me feel good. So that was kind of the main reason I loved doing it. And then when I was a teenager, I watched this movie called My Own Private Idaho, which is by Gus Van Sant. And River Phoenix in this movie, I think, is like the most incredible performance ever given by an actor. And it was so profound. It affected me so much. He plays this kind of gay hustler who's in love with Keanu Reeves' character. And it's very unrequited. And I loved that movie. And I just thought, wow, that is art. If I could ever ever do something like that, that would be amazing.
You've mentioned that drama class at school was your safe space to get away from bullies.
Yes, yeah.
And I think now, though, you're an adult, you're in the adult world.
Yeah.
Where's your safe space now?
Where is it? No, where is it? To be honest, I still get to have it on stage, you know, like that's where I feel like most powerful and strongest and confident is on stage singing the songs. And it's interesting how, you know, I'm not actually naturally the most sort of extrovert or confident person, but there's something that happens when you go on stage. It's kind of this force field that kind of shoots up and you feel just bigger than yourself and able to kind of, you know, put on a show. And and also just being with my family on the road, you know, we look out for each other, and that feels like a safe space.
I know you have, obviously, you know, we all have a sensitive side. You've got a sensitive side. You've talked about mental and physical issues in the past. Yeah. But you also seem fearless. And I love what you said in the world from your angle and your personal opinions on things. Yeah. And I want to thank you for that. Oh. But it seems fearless. Where does your strength come from?
I've always been kind of like very determined to express myself. And I remember like when we first signed a record deal, and I had a media training person say to me, you know, oh, you might not want to talk about your sexuality. And I really had this moment where I thought, okay, I can either go down this path of hiding who I am, or I can go down this other path of being honest. And I've got to be honest, I was very scared at that stage. I didn't feel fearless, but I made the decision to be honest. And then it kind of was like a little seed that just grew into this plant and then to a big tree that grew these roots of kind of, oh, this makes me feel good about myself, you know? And then when you kind of do that, you get a response from other people where they go, this is who I am too, or I appreciate what you said because this is how I feel, or, you know? And it kind of was like a chain reaction. So it's like, oh gosh, this is what I have to do. This is what I have to do.
Yeah. And it's obviously helped so many other people.
I think so. Like, it's amazing just to hear other people's stories. And people tell me all the time, like, how they've come to the music or something I've said, or like a TV or It's a Sin, and what that's meant to them. And that I always find that so powerful, because that's what it's about, you know, like trying to kind of, if someone feels less alone, or if they feel like their experience is being, you know, reflected in some way, that's just a great feeling. Mm.
I loved It's a Sin, and you were quite fantastic in that again.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
It was joyous, but obviously it was very, very sad with the real history of the story. What did you take away from it, either as being an actor or just a person or a gay man through this?
I mean, I took so much from it. It really was just an unbelievably profound experience. I learned so much about my own identity as a gay man, kind of growing up in the 1990s and the 2000s in the UK. And, you know, that was sort of directly after the 80s and the AIDS epidemic. And it was a very homophobic country, and, you know, across the world as well. But I didn't really realize, kind of, I hadn't really joined the dots in a way as to why, you know, like Section 28, for instance, which is a policy that put in place in the UK that kind of prevented anybody talking about gay people nonstop. And I didn't really know why that came into place. And so anyway, It's a Sin kind of taught me the history, like actual queer history. You know, I knew bits, but I hadn't really engaged with it as fully as when I did the show. So I learned so much about myself, about who I was growing up, and like why I've come to feel the way I feel about being gay and all of these things. But I have just a deep, deep respect and love for, you know, everybody that went through that time, the people that we've lost, but the people that are still here, you know, and how deep that kind of trauma is and how it impacts so many people and continues to affect us. And I'm still kind of learning and taking stuff away from it.
I'm reading Elton John's autobiography, which is a good laugh.
Yeah.
But he takes us right back to the 80s in this period too. Yeah. And the terrible things the tabloids said about him.
Yeah.
The terrible things the tabloids said about gay people, about people dying from AIDS. It was just evil. And I remember it in real time.
Yeah.
Luckily, things have changed a bit.
Mm.
But for you, when there's the nasty comments in public, whether it's the media or the or social media, what gets you through that? How do you fight back or ignore?
Well, I have a lot of support, you know, to like, you just, if I go on my social media, the by and large majority of people who are supporting me, they want to say like, well done, or I love your music, or, you know, and, but as human beings, we can become really blind to all that stuff and just focus on the negative. Yeah. So of course, like, I will focus on the one mean comment or the one person who's being homophobic. And the way I deal with it is I kind of try not to look at anything anymore apart from, you know, the nice stuff, like, and it's difficult, but I you know, I have to, like, I'm grateful for so much now, and it's easy to forget those things. So I'm just always having to be like, whenever I feel like, oh no, you know, because I do feel like that sometimes, like, I have this like scared person inside me that's like, oh no, people aren't gonna like me, or people are gonna make fun of me because I'm gay, or whatever, whatever. But then I have this other part of me that goes, look at what you've done, and look at where you've come from, and how many other people in the world are like there with you and are doing their own thing, you know? So I guess you just kind of have to keep those things in mind.
You might have answered this question, but the radio station I'm with, our catchphrase is find your colors. Oh. It's about diversity. It's about sexuality. It's about people finding their colors.
Yeah.
If someone's going through a tough time here in Japan now listening to this show, what would you say to them?
Gosh, well, I would just say, like, you deserve to be as happy as anyone else. You deserve happiness. You deserve love. You deserve the same opportunities as everyone else. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you. I think all of us struggle with these really negative beliefs about ourselves, where we tell ourselves we're flawed, we're broken, we're not lovable, you know, and everybody struggles with that. But yeah, I would just say that those beliefs are wrong. Like, that you absolutely deserve all the good stuff.
Good. I want to talk about music very quickly. I always talk with people about the power of music. Has music got you through the tough times in life?
Of course, music has always been there for me ever since I can remember, you know, like, from just hearing my mom's music, Whitney Houston, Stevie Wonder, then discovering like Joni Mitchell, Jeff Buckley. These are the singers that like sung about their pain and their experiences, and made, when I listened to it, I felt less alone, you know? So that was what got me into making music, because I was like, I want to do that. I want to sing about my experiences, my pain, and transform it to something else.
We haven't even talked about Years and Years, which is now a solo project.
Yeah.
How has that fundamentally changed things, or has it?
I mean, it's kind of been like a slow, it was like a slow change. So by the time we kind of like announced it was just going to be a solo project, it was just really like, it felt kind of natural because we'd kind of grown apart and started to do different things. But the challenge was kind of, I felt suddenly like, oh gosh, okay, I don't want to mess this up. And I don't really, you know, I'm used to having sort of two other people there to kind of support. You know, you hope that you can support each other, but and of course we did, but things changing, it took a little while to adjust, but it's actually been amazing. And yeah, I'm just like, I have this newfound appreciation in a way of just of everything, so that's good.
Lots of songs about dud boyfriends. When are we getting the happy one?
I know, but you're gonna get some happy ones.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
good. Okay, we're going on a journey a bit like Desert Island Discs. Ooh. Give you a passport, credit card, and your mobile device. Okay. What's one thing you must have if you're running out the door?
Can I never come back?
Never come back.
Oh my gosh, what am I going to take? I'll probably take my journal, my diary. Oh. Yeah.
Do you write every day?
I don't write every day, but I take it with me everywhere I go. Oh. Yeah, just in case I need to write something, and I try and write as much as I can. Oh.
And does the journal turn into the songs?
Yes, exactly, yeah. Good, if I need a lyric idea.
I wonder about that. What's it like having us lot read your journal?
Oh, well, the thing is, the songs are very kind of like, there's a lot of hidden messages in the songs that only really I would know the meaning behind. But I love that. It's kind of like little cryptic messages. And, you know, that's, I hope, you know, people enjoy it.
Do you say everything through your music, or is there more you want to say in interviews or in other mediums?
Gosh, I think there's always stuff to be said, you know, and there's always stuff that I want to say that I didn't realize I wanted to say. And that kind of changes, you know, and I feel like, yeah. It's definitely a journey of discovery, you know?
Right. Yeah. We're going on a journey. Final question. You can have one travel companion from history or today. Who would you love to sit down with and have a conversation with?
Oh, gosh. That is really tricky. You know, I would love to take Joni Mitchell on a date and just pick her brains and just be in her company for a little while. I would love that.
You got her.
Yeah, thank you.
What do you want to ask her?
I would ask her, I don't know, I'd want to ask her about, like, not even music, just kind of what she thinks about when she wakes up in the morning or when she goes to bed. And I don't know, like, what's her favorite flower? I'd like to know.
And I want to eavesdrop.
Yeah, you can.
But for today, Ollie Alexander, it has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Guy. Thank you for having me.
Lovely to meet you.
Yes, you too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bravo.
And thank you for joining us today. For more interviews and information, please go to guyperryman.com.